Finding the Father by Herb Montgomery, Chapter 1. Whom do you see? We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. A nice nin. You thought I was altogether like you, God. Psalm 50, 21. My first memory in this life took place when I was just 4 years old. I was sitting in one of those 1970s high chairs. You know, the kind with the two metal rods and the stainless steel tray that clamp down into place. Even if a person were raised by an atheist, that sound would trigger an instinctive prayer to God that no body parts were near that thing. There I was, crunching my favorite sugary cereal breakfast, with my father sitting to my right and my mother to my left. They were engaged in an argument of such magnitude that it lodged itself in my little 4-year-old heart as my first memory. Ironically, this is the only memory I have of my parents while they were still married. Before I turned 5, my parents divorced. My mother, almost overnight, became a single mom trying to support and raise a son. To this day, I have great respect and love toward my mother for all the sacrifices I watched her make to raise me. She would drop me off early in the morning at my aunt's house, me in my Superman pajamas, the ones with the enclosed feet, great for sliding across the old hardwood floors, and pick me up in the evening, when I was once again in my pajamas. She worked such long hours that I don't think she ever saw me in normal clothes. She was a hairstylist who worked every day from morning until night, trying to raise a child on minimum wage and tips. Many times those tips determined what we ate for dinner. What we lacked in money, my mother made up with love. Through the years, she and I became fast friends, and to this day, she remains one of the best friends I've ever had. Yet, as I grew closer to my mother, something else was being shaped for me in my heart and mind that I did not know how to put into words. Although my mother was the best mom a child could have, and all the kids in the neighborhood wished they could have a mom like mine, from age 4 to 24, I was forming a picture of this person everyone called my father, shaped by an undercurrent of tension and questions. I remember hearing stories of how my father abandoned us for another woman. Whenever I heard that, the us didn't seem so plural. My father abandoned me. I remember hearing conversations about my father refusing to pay child support. The hardest thing for my young heart was birthdays and Christmases coming and going without even a card from my dad saying, "Thinking of you, son. Hope you're doing well." What made this painful was that in our town of only 2,500 people, I actually lived on the same street as my father, only 20 houses away. When I was 14, I went to visit my father for the first time. The visit was more out of obligation than a real desire to get to know him. I figured, he's my dad. He helped bring me into this crazy world. The least I could do is pay him a few visits. I remember standing in my father's kitchen where his wife, out of nowhere, just blurted out, "You know, your father really does love you and wishes you would visit more often." Internally, I became livid. My mother had taught me at a very young age when to open my mouth and when to keep it shut. Anger, however, surged through my heart. I wanted so badly to say, "Love, what my dad needs for his birthday is a dictionary. I could define for him what love is, and this is not it." But I pushed those feelings back down inside. The years rolled on, and my relationship with my father never seemed to improve. But something unexpected was about to take place, something that would set the course for the rest of my days. When I was 16, I met the girl of my dreams. From the first time I saw her, I knew this is the girl with whom I would spend the rest of my life. What's ironic is that from the first time she saw me, she knew the exact same thing, that I wanted to marry her. Being a young woman with keen perception, she kept me at arm's distance until we were about 18. After that, things began to get serious. I spent that time jumping from college to college until finally dropping out at 19. I decided to ask her to marry me and arrange for the two of us to meet on the coast in Central California, where I planned to ask the big question. The evening was perfect. I had made reservations at a beautiful restaurant on the beach, her favorite place. I put unlimited time and effort into creating the perfect atmosphere. I had written her 3 songs and had purchased some pretty amazing engagement gifts. As the sun was setting, we stood on the rocks and sand of the coast, and I dropped to one knee, took her hand in mine, and it was at this moment that it dawned on my potential wife what the whole evening was about. Without a moment's hesitation, she took her hand out of mine, placed it straight out in front of her, palm facing me, and stopped me dead in my tracks. With world standstill sternness, she looked me straight in the eye and said, "Don't even think about asking me to marry you." All the hope that had accumulated in my heart since age 16 died. And then, with a twinkle in her eye, she said one word for which I will forever be thankful. Until. Hope revived. I thought to myself, until? Until what? When? What's the condition? I listened intently as she continued. Until you first have a relationship with your father. Because I'm not going to marry anyone who has a dysfunctional relationship with either one of his parents. Talk about compulsory visits with my father. Now I was going to be visiting my father in earnest. Not because I wanted to, but because I had to. Over the ensuing months, I tried diligently to create a relationship with my dad. To be completely honest, our relationship never did click, but it did get to the place where my wife was deceived enough to say, "I do." We got married a few months later at age 20. And the polite but distant relationship with my father continued. One evening, 3 years later, my wife and I were sitting on the couch in my father's living room, once again in another obligatory visit. My father was seated across from us. The conversation took a drastic twist into uncharted waters, and before I could steer clear, we were right in the middle of the topic I had always feared to broach. My wife was asking most of the questions. If you knew my wife, you would know that she has a way of making people feel so safe and loved that she can ask them any question she wants, and before they know it, they will tell her things they wouldn't even confess to a Catholic priest. I watched her take my father to a very vulnerable place. Then, with no warning, she went straight for the jugular. Looking my father right in the eyes, she said, "You know, Herb, I don't know how to say what I really want to ask you." She had warmed him up so much that he, in his southern way, simply came back with, "Well, shoot, darling, just come out and say it." That's all she needed. Quietly but firmly, she continued, "I'd like to know why you didn't visit your son more often when he was a little boy." Talk about an obligatory discussion! Everything inside me was screaming at my wife, "Hello! I'm sitting right here. I'm in the room. What are you doing?" I tried to shoot my wife the look, but she was oblivious. My father was shocked as well. He didn't know what to say. His body language displayed his discomfort. He crossed his arms, uncrossed them, then crossed them again. Having nowhere to hide, nowhere to run, he looked at me and said, "Stanley, my middle name, since I'm a second. I know you love your mother very much, and I would hate to do anything that would interfere with that, but I think it's time you knew something." Then he leaned over, looked into my eyes, and said words that I had never heard before. "When I left your mother," he started, my mind jolted. I thought to myself, "My mother? No, Dad, you abandoned me." My father continued, "I never, in my wildest imagination, even conceived of the thought that I would lose you." Tears began to well up in my father's eyes as he went on to tell the story of a very heated and lengthy custody battle that granted my mother custody and permitted my father visits only on weekends. But in spite of the court order, my father would never be allowed to see his son. I had always been told that my father didn't want to see me on the weekends. Now I was hearing for the first time of the countless efforts my father made to try to see me, and how those efforts were circumvented and prevented by my mother. I began to realize that our move to another state during my childhood had not occurred because of my mother's work, as I had been told, but to prevent my father from seeing me. My father stood up and motioned for me to follow him into the dining room. He proceeded to open a drawer in a huge antique cabinet and pulled out what looked to me like an old shoebox. As he lifted the lid, there, filed in chronological order, was a sight I will never forget. Every child support check processed through my mother's bank account and returned with my father's monthly bank statement was there, staring right back at me. Sometimes they were early and written for more than what was required. "I always tried to take care of you," my father whispered. Then, looking up into his eyes, I watched him proceed very cautiously, not wanting to cause discord between me and my mother, but still desiring for me to know the truth. He told of birthday presents that were thrown away by my mother or returned to him with nothing more on the package than "return to sender." I sat there speechless, not knowing what to believe. Then, for the first time, I heard of the countless prayers that my father had prayed that someday I would come to know the truth. In that moment, something inside of me broke, and tears began to well up in my eyes. I looked up and saw tears streaming down my father's face as well. It was hard for me to swallow. My mind raced back over all my years of feeling abandoned by my father, all the suppressed emotional pain of watching other young boys playing at the park with their dads and wondering, "What's wrong with me?" All the pain of feeling rejected by my father burst upon my 4-year-old little heart, trapped in my 23-year-old body. My father very cautiously reached out and took me in his arms. I couldn't hold it back any longer. After all the years of feeling abandoned, I found myself in the embrace of the father I had always wished I had. With tears streaming down both of our faces, I, for the first time in my life at 23, loved my dad. What I would begin to realize next would change every aspect of my life.